Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 16. We'll go through that chapter division and go to verse 10 of chapter 9. So Ecclesiastes 8, 16. As I read through this, and of course we've read through it before, but we'll be reminded of things that we will nod about. Well, yep, that's exactly the way it is. That's perfect. That says it just exactly the way it is. So verse 16, Ecclesiastes 8. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. For I considered all this in my heart, so that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred by anything that is before them. Everything occurs alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he who takes an oath is he who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that, they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Go eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart. For God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity. For that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Let's pray. Lord, we need our wisdom from you. Observation of the world has trapped many people, and today it is so that many look longingly and hopefully at the world, or those in control, or those in leadership, or those in government, or those who teach, or those who preach, or people who seem to have intellect. And there is hope in the world, and there is belief and confidence that without you, things can work out just fine. Just there's a secret still to find. There's a formula to discover. And once it is discovered, then things will be great. If we can stop all the sexist and gender distinctions, some think, well, that'll fix everything. If we can just conquer racism, oh, everything will be great. If we can do this or do that, educate here and correct here, all will be well. And the world lives with the deception that the answer lies near at hand in the world. Lord, we know better because we see your word, and we see even in this book. There's an entire book here by Solomon who tells us that the world is vanity. And yet, Lord, that is heard and disagreed with by the majority, the vast majority of those living today. Lord, guide our thinking, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Soon, we're told, we'll be able to live on the moon. or Mars, and there are actually people who already signed up for this or want to be. And I think what would happen is this. You'd have exciting time starting off. You'd head to the moon. Let's just start with the moon. And you blast off, you get into orbit. What a wondrous thing to see. And you circle a few times the way Apollo used to do. They would circle the Earth a few times, get in position, then fire a rocket and head off to the moon. I think about 3 days later, they'd get into the moon's orbit. So there you are going through, and you're so excited. Then you get to the moon. You go around, you see the dark side of the moon for the first time. Look at that. And then you get to land, and that's exciting. So you go down, you land, you get to the moon, you get to the moon base. You get in the moon base, it's all new and exciting. Oh, look at this. What a wondrous thing this is. I'd give it about a week. I mean, on the outside, I'd give it about a week. Usually, when we go to the beach, which is a very nice place, or the mountains, which to me is even nicer in a lot of ways, we're ready to come home in a week. Go to Hilton Head. Oh, look at this. This is great. You're ready to come. And you're on the moon now. You can't just hop in a car and head on back. You're done with it. Then it's the next week and the next week and the next week and the next week, and you are tired of it. And there's no more interest in it. And there's nothing to do. And you can't go to the mall. You can't go out to eat. You can't take a drive around and go through the park and look at the flowers, play around the golf, go fishing. None of that stuff is going to be there. So you're bored and you despair of life and you're ready to quit. Well, that is not just for the moon. There are a lot of people who are that way here on Earth. They're fed up with it. There are, in the current political season, the election's next Tuesday, reports of families breaking up over the election. Divorces are taking place. Without that, there's the anxiety level. Anxiety level is way high right now about who would win, who would lose. And the world is a very dangerous place in a lot of areas of the world, in the Middle East, in Arab lands. Russia is revving up again. A lot of things to be concerned about. Some people say, I'm done with it. Stop the world. I want to get off. Well, here's the thing. You can't get off. And it's life or death. And there is... In Ecclesiastes, a picture painted of what the world is like. Now, the moon is a certain way. Mars would be even worse. But the dilemma facing us in the world is that without the Lord, and this isn't just religious talk, without the Lord, there is no hope to find a full and happy life. There really is not. People can be happy. But because the world ends, because our life ends, it is not the solution because it ends. In the Garden of Eden, in all that beauty, when Adam and Eve fell from the favor of God, the garden was no longer a pretty place. They ran from God, they hid. They were guilty. They were ashamed, the Bible tells us. And the garden could not sustain life, even close to life, once we fell out of favor with God. And yet, in our world, life goes on, even though it's a fallen world. It's like when your car breaks down. And you can't go. And you say, I'm just I'm done with it. Well, sometime a car will break down a little bit and it'll keep going. The older your car gets, there's going to be this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong, and you're still going to be in it because that's the way you get somewhere. I guess you could have the option of saying, well, my windshield wiper's squeaking, I'm not going to drive this car anymore. Some people are that way. Some people are that way toward the world. They get discouraged very quickly. They get quickly disheartened. And the car will still go, but they don't want to ride it anymore because it's not perfect. Well, if you have to live with perfection, you can't live in this world. Ecclesiastes is a very practical book to two areas. It's practical to the world because it describes to the world that the world is vain, that it is not the answer. And that is in every person who is born in this world, the belief is that there's something good in the world that will fulfill us. Even if you have a happy life, it ends. If you have a good family, that ends with death. It may be 100 years, but it ends. So it's vain. It doesn't keep go on. We're made to go on, and it doesn't go on. And it's a philosophical point, but it is to enlighten people in the world who would naturally seek all of life within a closed system, the closed system of this world. My life can be found in here, in this closed system without God. No. Ecclesiastes tells the world that the world is not the answer. As John said, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For those things in the world, the love of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is of the world. And the world passes away. That's vain. Ecclesiastes, on the other hand, instructs believers that although the world is cursed, and we know the world is not going to give us the desired purpose for which we're made, what should we do about it? Should we despair? Should we quit? Give up? Withdraw? That's what Martin Luther did. He withdrew from the world, went to a monastery, had no intention of coming out of it. His friends walked into the door of the monastery, and he said goodbye to them. He would never see them again in this world, and he went to the monastery. Of course, he came out later, and he did see them again because the Lord saved him in there. But some people give it up. They say, we're not living this world anymore. So should we abandon all hope? All hope of happiness and good times, live in gloom. Liberating truth Ecclesiastes presents to us is that in the Lord we should enjoy life in this world as a gift from Him. The devil is a tricky, tricky enemy. And he is against whatever he can be against. That would be favorable. He is against holiness, but he's also against those things which are good in themselves, like pleasure and happiness and joy and merriment. Oh, we're Christians. We can't smile. We can't laugh. Oh, I don't think we should get together and enjoy ourselves. That's just we've got to be glum, and some are that way. And it's because the devil also doesn't like holiness, whether a person is in an excess of wickedness or whether it's holy fun and good and proper in the sight of God. And what this means is that we must face things that we have to overcome. Overcoming is a Christian virtue. If you live in this world, you have to overcome. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, John says. So overcoming the world, not surrendering to it, being happy in the will of God. Now, people look at Ecclesiastes and say, what an awful book. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Everything falls apart. There's nothing. And they take it like it's a gloomy book. It's not. Because all throughout the book you have just what we've seen here in this passage. That it's good to live joyfully and happy in the will of God. That is God's will. To withdraw from the world or to be piously glum, supposedly. It has to be, we overcome the world. And the inherent vanity of the world. And we do that by enjoying those things which the Lord has given us to enjoy. Our God is the author of happiness and joy and pleasure. He made that. That it gets twisted in immorality, yes. But counterfeit money is based on pure money. And we don't stop with the pure money just because there's counterfeit money out there. And there is a happy life. People get married. See, that's another thing of the Catholic Church. They feel they're more holy if they don't get married. The nuns are married to the church. So, and the monks, I guess they're married to the church too. So, that is considered to be a holier state. And you're not giving into the world. That was the problem with Gnosticism. One wing of Gnosticism is you stay away from the world. You can't have any pleasure, anything in the flesh, because all that is evil. The flesh is evil in every way. Of course, the other side was you live it up because it doesn't matter since your flesh is evil. So there's always that robbing people of joy. The devil is the one who thought up this whole thing of taking candy from a baby. Anything to cause misery. And that one episode of Star Trek I know you all are familiar with from the original series, where the Klingons and the humans of the Enterprise are being tempted and twisted by an evil force to fight each other. Because that evil force wanted conflict. And you know, at the end of the show, they figured it out. And they said, what we ought to do is laugh. We ought to laugh and be joyful together. And so they started laughing, the Klingons and the humans, and they laughed, and that force right out the ship and out into space. The devil won't flee, although the Bible says if we resist the devil, he will flee. And he wants us to be in a bad spot, however that is. So there are things we have to overcome. And we'll look at things and we'll get discouraged. And there's a lot to be discouraged about. We've killed millions of babies since 73 legally. And that is such a corrupt, evil thing. And the higher-ups and the bigwigs, oh, there's anything wrong with it. It's in the Constitution, yeah. Along with E.T. and space aliens. People twist it and turn it and make things, and they're murdering children, and they don't even, not even bother them. But now if you mess with a whale, you're in trouble. There will be things that will discourage those who want a higher moral standard in our society. And it will encourage those who live in the world that it doesn't matter. I mean, we don't have to be holy. Look, people who are unholy are some of the happiest people who have the most money. You know who I wouldn't give a dime to if I was God? I wouldn't give any money to Justin Bieber. But he's got a bunch of it. I wouldn't give any money to Lady Gaga. She's got a bunch of it too. There are television shows like The Simpsons. I would never have had that be successful. I think they're in their like 150th year now. Keeps on going. I've never watched an episode. I've seen some commercials. That's enough. Too much. it's just not right. Things don't go the way they're supposed to go. And if you're taken down by that, you can't be in this world. This world is not for sissies. And being a Christian is not for sissies. The most evil people right now in the world, it seems, are those that they got the most money, the most possessions. They can just get in their plane and fly off anywhere. Where do you want to eat tonight? I asked Cindy. Where do you want to eat tonight? And she says, there's a restaurant in Southern California. I'd like to. Let's go there tonight. Okay, I'll call up Savington, the butler, and have him call the plane and have him come pick us up and take us to the airport. We'll just be off in our private jet, our Gulfstream. There are people who live like that. But the people who have the most in this world, people who are most in charge, people who have the most power, often the wickedest people, those most out of touch with God. And so it's fitting for Christians to live by faith, because if you look at the world, you're going to be taken down. So this passage tells us that we can't be tripped up by that. Your first trip to the woods, you tell your kid, you're going out to the woods, let me tell you a few things. It's not going to be all good. You're going to run into some limbs, they're going to smack you in the face a few times. You run through some briars. You get some poison ivy from time to time. You get stung sometime. You'll trip sometimes and roll down a hill. Things will happen. And it won't be all good. But overall, if you get through those things that happen from time to time, you'll have a good experience in the woods. It's a great place to be and observe life in nature. But why is it that good people go through hard times? I've told you before, but it's such a funny story to me. The lady who was in her carriage, and the horses bucked and threw her out of the carriage, and a godly lady threw her out of the carriage into the mud, face down in the mud. And she got up and said, "Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, there's no wonder you have so few of them." I mean, that's what you think about. Why would this lady? There are some people I could think of a whole lot more if I were the Lord to put into the mud. But they're all shimmering up on the walk, the red carpet, going into the Emmy Award ceremonies or something. So, verse 16, chapter 8, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, that is Solomon with his wisdom, which is greater than ours, thinking about the business of the world, not just commercial, but the doings of the world. So he thought about that, and even if you, it says there, it's kind of, I think, hard, a little bit hard to understand, even though one sees no sleep day or night. I think that means if you think about it and you don't even sleep day or night, all you do is think it over. All you do is figure it out. Try to figure out what's going on in the world. Verse 17, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Now we know it's a work of God. We know God is doing something, because God is a living God. He's active. He is sovereign in every way. Bugs don't fall to the ground without his sovereign will and decree. But he says there, though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. You won't know. How many times have you said, you know, somebody gets sick, I wonder what God is doing? And you know, we don't know. Maybe this, maybe this, maybe this is for someone in the family, maybe this is for their own personal well-being and righteousness, maybe this is for them to display Christ, maybe they'll get an opportunity to witness to a doctor or a nurse or hospital staff, or who knows? But we don't know. You can sit and think about it and you will not figure it out. All you have is conjecture. And so even if you don't sleep, if you apply yourself constantly to it all the time, you will not figure it out. And we have to say that's true. There's stuff that's happened in our lives we still don't know why. A lot of it. Why do I have diabetes? Not a clue. Don't know why. Why do I have diabetes in the day that I have diabetes, when my grandmother had a brother who had diabetes before insulin was even known about, and he died? We don't know. Who can figure it out? The same things happen to all men. There's no distinction. Verse 1 of chapter 9. I considered all this in my heart so that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred by anything that is before them. We can't tell whether we're walking into a good situation, a loving situation, or a bad, hateful situation. Here we are, and we're figuring out, okay, this is going to go this way, and it doesn't always go that way. People know neither love nor hatred by anything that is before them. It means the evidence that is placed before them as they look at it, they cannot see how it's going to work out. Because you might say, oh, that person, they're going to have a good experience because of the kind of person they are. But it doesn't work that way. Sometimes the best people have the worst experiences, and sometimes the worst people have the best experiences. And it doesn't matter about the quality of the person, verse 2. Everything occurs alike to all. That doesn't mean everybody gets the same things. But it means there is no distinction and no limit to what any person, righteous or unrighteous, can get. And notice it says the various people that one event happens to. The righteous and the wicked. To the good, the clean, the unclean. To him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he who takes an oath is he who fears an oath or doesn't take an oath. Fears to take an oath. So both sides. Oh, that is a righteous person. They're not going to get cancer. Well, they surely will. Just as much as anybody else will. Oh, they're not going to have an accident on the way to the family Christmas. Well, they sure can. It's happened and it will happen. It will keep happening. And there is no distinction. And when you're looking at it, a person's going to say, well, there's no benefit to being a Christian because same thing happens to Christians as to non-Christians. You know, a tornado comes through, it knocks down a Jehovah's Witness kingdom hall. We go, and then it goes on down the street, knocks over the church, Christian church. We go, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it doesn't. God is kind to people because the Mormon church down the road, it didn't even get hit. You see, it's nothing that you can't figure out from the things that people are teaching. There's no distinction. And some people sacrifice a lot. They're very religious. Bad things happen to them. And that's evil. Verse 3 says, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun. It's not that God is doing evil, but it's an evil thing. Evil things happen. Not God doing wrong, but evil coming upon good people. David Brainerd dying at the age of 29. Jonathan Edwards called it the frowns of heaven, where bad things would happen to Christian people. And the scenario is given there in verse 3. Truly, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. I believe that's a description of the way lost people position themselves in this world, to grab basically for all the pleasure and happiness they can before they die without considering death. It's called there the madness in their hearts. That's true. While they live, they have madness in their heart, and after they They go through it all and burn the candle on both ends, and finally it comes to the end, and they say, most of the time they say, I've got no regrets. I live my life to the fullest. Because they're just heading to the death. They know they're going to die, so they eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow they die. And so they're geared for death. They say, I'm going to die. I'm going to go out swinging. I'm not going to give up easy. I'm going to go live in it to the fullest. That's the way Augustus McCrae went out. You know Augustus McCrae? He got shot in the leg by those arrows of the Indians, Lonesome Dove. He got shot in the leg, and while he was passed out, the doctor cut his leg off. He was upset. He said, you better save my leg bone because I'm going to make a cane out of it. And he said, well, I got some bad news for you. The other leg's got to come off too. And he says, nope, it's not going to. You'll die. Well, then I'll die. Because I'm not going to go through that indignity. Captain Woodrow F. Call couldn't talk him out of it. Augustus McCrae pulled a gun on Captain Woodrow F. Call. You're not going to have him cut that leg off. See, that's what people have. They're headlong to death. They're burning rubber on the way to the end. Madness. Not that Augustus McCrae was a wild madman. I mean, he had his times. Verse 4. We shouldn't think about living just to burn out in death. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Would you rather be a dog or a lion? Lion. Hear me roar. Well, would you rather be a dead lion or a live dog? Now you're a dog. The life is a gift in itself. People who just live to run out all of their pleasures in this world and just end up dying, they're sacrificing their lives eternal. And he goes through some advantages to being alive for the living. Verse 5, know they will die, but the dead know nothing. The living can still make preparations knowing they will die instead of just running into it. And they have no more reward in this world, it's speaking of, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, verse 6, their love, their hatred, their envy, all their passions have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. That's over. That's done. Their life is now after. So what do you do in that situation? How do you live your life? You've got death coming. Some people see death coming. They run and burn as bright as they can and run and live as hard as they can till they run into the barrier of death and they're gone. But then there are those who are preferred. It's better to be alive and live in a way that is eternal and the will of God. And so in verse 7 he says, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. For God has already accepted your works or approved of you. It's wrong to think that a fallen world should not be lived to the fullest of God's will. There are things you enjoy doing in the will of God. Do them. We don't know how God will use even the most mundane, routine things that we do. In heaven, there'll be people tell us, you know, I was influenced when I was a kid in church and heard this preacher preaching about the blood of Christ, and it confused me. And I asked my mama, what's that about? And it made me think, and I got saved, and then I understood it. And who's to know? Verse 7 says we should eat and drink and be merry in the will of God. If it's in the will of God, instead of, as Paul mentioned, that you drink and be merry for tomorrow we die, without thought of God, that's a sin. But if you do it in that God has given you something to eat, you know, I had something to eat tonight. had something to drink. It wasn't wine. But we had a merry time at supper. And all that was provided by God. We prayed before we ate. And I thank God for what he had provided. And it's always an enjoyable time for me. Always has been all my life to, at the end of the day, late afternoon is when we eat, is to sit down and have a meal. And that's a great thing. And I know there's plenty of things to, if we allowed it, to discourage us in that, but we're not going to let that happen. It says, go eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart. Verse 8, let your garments always be white and let your head lack no oil. In other words, don't let yourself go. People, it's a picture of someone letting themselves go because they're despondent and discouraged by the world. Psalm says, don't do that. Wash your clothes and anoint yourself and look presentable. Jesus said to do that if you're fasting. Make sure nobody knows you're fasting because it's something between you and God. So just, you know, make yourself look as happy and nice and dress up and keep your clothes clean. Verse 9, rejoice in with your wife. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life which he has given you under the sun. All your days of your vanity. For that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. It's a gift from God. That is one of the pleasures God has given men to enjoy. He says enjoy it. Solomon surely knew, did that. It's an enjoyment. Verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your mind. Pour yourself into it. If it's the will of God, don't feel like you're wasting your time. Oh, I should be on the mission field. Here I am. All I'm doing is cutting the grass. If that's what God's giving you to do, do it with all your mind. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. And that's the case. We have to live our full life here now. Barry was talking about, they asked him in his church after Sunday, he said, well, we're going to have Sunday evening service if we're coming down here. And we don't, and I think it's good that we don't because we're so worn out and all. Barry said, no, we're going to have service because I want to finish well. He's going to go back up the road, and he did. As far as I know, I don't have kind of a tendency to have, but they went back up the road and had his evening service. I don't feel guilty that we didn't at all. But he was pouring himself into his labor and doing what he felt like he should do, and the church can rejoice in that. And we just we do what we're given to do. And there's nothing that's unimportant if we're doing the will of God. Someone asked a guy, what would he do? He was out trimming his garden. What would you do if you knew the Lord was coming this afternoon? He said, well, I'd finish trimming my garden. Because that was what the will of God was for him at that point. So this is what Solomon's advice is to us. Live. It's not a guilty thing. Live. Enjoy what God has given. Rejoice in what you're able to do. Rather than the wicked who just burn out and all they have is the madness in their heart and the grave. Any comment you have to add to this?